Greetings, everyone, and welcome to Under the Fig Tree. I'm Troy.
And I'm Bruce.
And we thank you so much for taking time out of your day to hang out with us here at Under the Fig Tree. We have some work to do, you know, I guess some work to finish.
Yeah.
Is that a good way to say it?
That's a great way to say it. There was more meat on the bones per your statement last broadcast. What were we talking about?
Oh, exposing mammon.
Exposing mammon. And I think you're right when you say there's more meat on the bone. You know, there's a lot of stuff going on, man. And in the church,
yeah,
I'll say it like that. In the church, there's a lot of stuff going on. And I think I mentioned to you last broadcast, part one now is going to be considered part one, exposing mammon. You know, that this is a subject near and dear to my heart because I've lived through a couple of things and I'm seeing a couple of things and I've had conversations with the Lord and been asking the Lord, what am I seeing and what's happening with the church in general? But, you know, I deal with jurisdictions. So I think a lot about and talk to God a lot about the jurisdiction that he set me in, which is America. You know
right.
what I'm saying? And so I hope the first one helped people, and I hope this second part will be the same.
I believe it will be. Before we get started, I think you had something you wanted to throw out there.
Hey, yeah. I wanted to give a shout out, man, to, you know, Troy, just in case you don't know, just in case my background doesn't tear you or the years you've known me and you know, and went, I don't know how long without even seeing my head ever because I always had a hat on. I'm a bit of a hat guy, okay?
Yeah.
And so, you know, I have other friends that I just recently found out were hat guys, man. And so I want to give a shout out to my brother in Christ and good friend, Mateo B. I won't give his last name, you know what I'm saying? I give him a little bit of anonymity. But Mateo, man, Mateo is originally from Ecuador, and his people make these hats. This is one of the hats that I'm wearing today. It's an original handmade Panama, straw Panama, and he happened to go home recently, and he brought me one back, man. Oh, such a blessing.
Yeah, man. I love that.
And so I just wanted to say thank you. I've said thank you like 12 times to him, but I thought, hey, I'm going to give him a shout out. Mateo, check me out, brother. I like it.
Handmade
He's a good
hats.
Brother, man. You know, part of a good church. I'm going to give a double shout out. He's part of a great church, man, over there, John Parker and his wonderful wife, Ashley, and Eastgate Church, Charlotte. You know, great
yeah,
people.
It's a great church.
He's in a great place, and you know, I just couldn't say enough how wonderful these folks are. So thank you, Mateo. I love my hat, man, and yeah,
man. So you know, as you say that, at some point, you know, we probably got to have Parker on here.
We need to have John Parker on the show,
yeah,
man.
At some point, we need to have him on here.
We do.
Mental note: I got it.
You
I got
it.
Mental note: yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to put in the request.
John Parker, if you're listening, get ready.
I love it.
We're coming for you.
So what we got, we want to talk about exposing mammon. I guess we want to continue talking about it.
Yeah, we're going to continue, man, just talking about exposing mammon. And, you know, and mammon is sneaky, man. Mammon is sneaky. I made the point last broadcast that when I think about mammon, I think about mammon from two perspectives. I think about mammon, the spirit, but I also think about mammon, the item or the object.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Money. In America, we would say dollars, but the currency, whatever currency, wherever you are in the world. So I think about mammon from those two perspectives, and the reason that I think about mammon from that perspective is what Jesus said. In Matthew 6:24, when he stated that, you know, you can't serve God and mammon. You'll hate one, love the other, right? or you'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You know,
That's right.
and it's so interesting to me, Troy, because out of all the things that Jesus could have maybe juxtaposed, you know, with our worship, because that's really what it comes down to, right? He's saying you're going to worship one and not care about the other, you know. And so he's talking about Father God, and out of all the things, you know, he didn't even say the devil directly. He focuses on the spirit of Mammon, and that's
Right.
why I see Mammon as a spirit, but also as an item or an object or a dollar or a currency that Mammon actually represents, man. And I really believe, Troy, that that the Church of Jesus Christ has to be well educated, I'll say, in the subtleties of Mammon, so that we stay free from the net, from the snare that Mammon will try to bring us into.
Bruce, I think you're right. I think a lot of times when we start talking about money in our church circles or when anybody is representing the kingdom and we start to talk about money, it's been talked about so much out of context that automatically people just tighten up. Like,
People
why are
tighten
y'all
up,
talking
man.
about money? Why are you talking about money?
Oh, here we go again.
Yeah,
Right.
exactly. You know,
Yeah.
and it's because out of context, it's been
Yes, sir.
discussed, and people have been taken advantage of. People have been hurt,
Yep.
and people will look at the church like, oh, they wanted your money. But the truth of the
All they
matter
want is
is,
your money. Right.
there's a lot of people outside the church that have taken advantage of you
That's
for
right.
money. You know what I
That's
mean?
right.
But you still go back to them. You know, and so I don't think that the church or the kingdom is a bad place to talk. In fact, I think it's probably one of the best places to talk about money. But you have to do it in context. You have to keep it within its boundaries. You have to
That's exactly
understand
right.
what money is for, right?
That's
So
right, man.
I'm ready to dive in. So
Let's go.
I have this, okay? And I
Okay.
don't even have this in my notes, but just to kind of kick it off, to look at how money should be in context, just think about this, right? And this is a thought that came to me. Solomon.
Yeah.
When Solomon was given the kingdom, God asked him or told him, he said, look, ask of me anything. Whatever you want, just ask of me anything.
Yeah.
Now we know wisdom is the principal thing. That's what the Bible says.
That's right.
And wisdom is attached to God. We know that for sure,
Yes.
right? And so he asked for wisdom instead of asking for riches and all this kind of stuff. And God was like, you know what? You asked me for the right thing. So since you asked me for the right thing, I'll give you the rest of the stuff,
Yeah,
right?
right.
But he asked for the right thing first. Now here's the thought that came to my head when I was, you know, just mulling this over. Is it to the point that Solomon is so enamored by the wisdom of God, he knows that's attached to him? We know for sure that the riches aren't attached to God,
Right,
right? But we
right.
know wisdom is.
Yeah.
And he's so enamored with the wisdom that he knows, or he puts it, or I put it this way. He knows this is the thing I need above anything else. Let me get,
Yes.
if I got this, everything else
Yeah.
will fall into place, right?
Right.
And God looking at him like, you know what, son, you asked me for the right thing. So because you have wisdom now, then you'll understand your place is not to serve the money.
That's right.
That's what wisdom will say, right? But
That's right.
wisdom will also say that you know now that the money is supposed to serve you,
That's right.
not the other way around. Does that make
Yeah.
sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
And so just keep it in the context. We're not out here chasing after money. We're not chasing after, that's not the thing we're supposed to be chasing.
We're not
God is
supposed to be.
not supposed to be.
Right.
God is where our focus is.
Right.
And if God decides to, if he decides to give, if he decides to bestow upon you wealth, then okay, so be it. But
Yeah.
I believe that God opens that up to you when he realizes that you have enough wisdom to understand that you don't serve the money serves you.
Well, exactly, man. I mean, going back to Matthew, you know, you'll cling to one, if I can say it like that, and you'll, if I can just say it in H.B. Franklin language, you'll hang hard on one and you'll push the other one away. You'll snub the other. You know what I'm saying? And so when I think about Matthew 6, in relation to what you just said, which I believe is spot on, this will sound a little strange maybe to people, but I think there's almost a level of despising learning how to, per your words, learning how to almost like despise money. You know what I'm saying? It's like, oh, I got to deal with money, right? But I don't really want to. I would like to just keep my focus on him. But I know I ha you know what I'm saying? I know I live in this life, I live in this earth, and I have to deal. It's almost like having that mentality that, instead of God being in the way, you know what I'm saying? It's almost like having to deal with money is in the way. You know? Does
Yeah,
that make
man.
sense? That's
That makes perfect
it's not
sense.
very eloquent, what I'm trying to say, but I'm thinking about Matthew 6:24. You will either hate one and love the other. So if we choose to love God, then according to what Jesus said, there's some level of hate towards the other.
Correct.
So, okay, we choose God. That means that there's some level of hate. There has to be some level on the inside of us. This is just how I think. There has to be some level inside of me, H.B. Franklin, that says, I don't even like money. I know I have to, I know it's the currency that we use in this life, but I wish that I didn't have to, because I know the influence that it tries to have, to your point. I know the influence that it tries to have. I think that's the revelation that people have to get, man, in the body of Christ. You're gonna hate one or love the other. He says it nice and plain.
Very plain.
And if that wasn't good enough, then he says, or you will be devoted to one. I'm reading out of the ESV. Be devoted to one and despise the other, right? How many people have shipwrecked because of not understanding what we're talking about right now and finding themselves clinging to the wrong God?
Oh, man.
Remember, I said in the last our last podcast, I quoted myself something that I put on social media. Don't find yourself asking one God to help you serve another God. That would be awkward. I got that out of Matthew 6:24. So I think your point you make is a very, very, very good one, man.
I mean, there's a lot, and I know we got a lot more to say about it, but I would say there's a lot you can say about keeping all this in the context and proper perspective. I know there's a passage in Ecclesiastes, and I know people will say this. Well, the Bible says money answers all things. Well, you have to keep that in context too, right? So the master of the feast is making this statement because of the supplies for the feast, right? But when people bring that up, Bruce, one of the questions I asked him, I said, well, can money buy salvation? Well, no. Well, there's at least one thing it doesn't answer. So it can't mean
Context.
that it answers all things. You
Context.
have to look at it in context,
Yes, sir.
right? And
Yes,
so
sir.
this is why I say, if we contextualize it and we give it proper perspective, right, then we'll know how to handle and deal with money, and money won't deal with you.
That's exactly right. You brought up Ecclesiastes, and since you did, I'll give you another one out of Ecclesiastes.
Yes, sir.
Ecclesiastes 5, verse 10 says, he who loves money will not be satisfied with money. Nor he who loves wealth with his income. This also is vanity.
Also is vet. So let's park here for a second. Can we?
Yeah, come on, man.
There are multi-billionaires in this world who still keep grinding. They will never spend what they have. Their children will never spend what they have, and their
Not in a
children's
couple
children's
lifetimes,
children
some
will
of them.
never spend what they have.
Right.
And they keep grinding, they keep grinding, they keep grinding. Why? Exactly what you said right there. If you love money, you'll never get enough of it.
You'll never be satisfied.
It'll never be enough. You'll never be satisfied. Exactly
Right.
right. And you'll keep grinding and keep grinding, keep grinding. Like, okay, you know what? Your kid's got a dance recital, but you have a business meeting. Well, you're worth $5 billion. Why can't you just go to the dance recital? You know what I mean? You're not
No.
hurting.
No, gotta
You're
grind
not
it.
hurting.
Gotta grind it out.
There's more important things, but when you have that passion, that love for money, this is the kind of thing you'll forsake other stuff,
Yes.
more important things.
Oh, sure.
Really, what it comes down to, you'll forsake more important things because you're chasing after this dollar, and that's just not the way God meant for us to live.
It's not. Matthew 6:20, 6:19. Matthew 6:19. I just read 24, and I'm going to read in. I'm not going to read all the way into 24, but 19 and 20 and 21. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where
Correct.
moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven,
Yep.
where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I think you quoted that or read that in the last podcast, man. So it was worth repeating. We really, as the people of God, man, we have to get a good hold on what God says about money. What
Yes.
is his order concerning money? We really need to get a good hold on that.
Yeah, I think one of the things that sparked this as far as the continuation of the conversations, because we never even got to the principle of giving.
Let's talk about it, man.
And for the sake of this conversation, I think we can relegate giving to money. Just for the sake of the conversation, even though we
Sure.
know giving has much more to do
Sure.
with than just money.
Sure.
But for the sake of the conversation and for the sake of those who subscribe to that as soon as you hear giving, the first thing that pops in your head is money.
Right.
We'll do this for you. I think that's
Right.
probably
Yeah.
the best way.
No, I think that's good because we are dealing specifically with mammon.
Yes. What did you have specifically for giving?
Well, I think that was where we left off, wasn't it?
Yeah, we never really got a chance to talk about it. We had already run like an hour.
One of the things that I wanted to say, man, is if you gotta have it as soon as you see it, right?
Oh, yeah.
You missed the opportunity for God to give it to you in his time and in his way. And there's a trickle-down effect because maybe he wanted you to participate in a particular giving session, for lack of a better term.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So
Oh,
I'm
yeah.
tying those together, right? There were times when, I believe God wanted me to give to something or to somebody, but there was something that I wanted. So in my mind, I had already earmarked the money for that thing. You see, instead of letting God give me the thing, in his time, in his way, and then I would be free to use the money to give the way in, once again, in his time. Does that make sense?
It makes perfect
His
sense.
time and in his way, man. So I think that's one of the things that I wanted to bring out, and just encourage the people of God, man. If you gotta have it as soon as you see it, can you really? And I'm gonna deal with the blessing in a minute or two, I think. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich, add no sorrow with it. I want to deal with that a little bit. We touched it just briefly, last podcast. But
Yep.
I have stories. I have personal stories. Some of the simplest things, man. But God was showing me that He's willing to take care of the most simple need or desire that I have. Up to very expensive needs and or
Yeah.
desires. Does that make sense?
It makes great
And
sense.
so, he taught me this principle, if you gotta have it as soon as you see it and desire it, you probably gonna miss the opportunity to let God give it to you the way he wants to. And you'll just toil for it. You'll spend your money for it when that money, maybe he wanted you to be a blessing to somebody. Whether it's in a church setting, or whether it's going to a specific individual, or whether it's helping, someone do something that maybe you don't do. Maybe you don't have the grace to do street ministry, or Maybe you can't get on a plane and go to another country, but you may know people who are doing those things, and maybe the Lord wants you to, to give into that, right? But you're so locked in on always needing to get the thing that you want first. So I'm putting that under giving, okay? Because I think it's important. Troy, I can remember, I remember getting up to go to work one morning. This was just a year or two ago, and there's in North Carolina. I don't know if the rest of the world has these wonderful apples, but there's an apple in North Carolina called the Honeycrisp apple. Oh, it's such a good apple. It's just an apple, though, right? I mean, there's apples. There's billions of apples on apple trees all over the world, right? In North Carolina, we have what's called Honeycrisp. And I can remember, Troy, I was on my way to work one morning, and I stopped at a local food store to purchase a Honeycrisp apple, just one. And I got out the truck, I went in the store, and I clearly hear the Lord tell me, "Don't buy the apple." And I'm like, "God, I just want an apple. What's, you know, what?" But I clearly hear in my heart, and I feel this heaviness, right? I know it's God, not to buy this apple. And I'm like, "This doesn't make any sense, right?" But I'm going to obey. So I get a drink, a breakfast drink or something, whatever I got. And I didn't buy the apple. I drive 5 more minutes to work. I park. I walk into my office, and one of my coworkers hears me come in. She can't see me, but she hears me. She says, "Bruce, is that you?" I said, "It is me." She said, "Meet me in the kitchen. I got something for you." It was two beautiful Honeycrisp apples. And it taught me something, Troy. I mean, this was just a couple of years ago. I learned this many, many years ago, man, but God was still having fun with it. I believe that God wants to show us how to have fun where giving is concerned. Stop spending your money on things you want only, right? It's not wrong, but stop spending your money so quickly on things that you want only and say, "God, okay, what do you want to do for me?" 'Cause that was so much fun. It was, it was so much fun, man. I'll tell you another story. I needed tires for my truck. I had the money, Troy, just like I had the money for that apple. I had the money to get the tires. I just could not buy these tires. So I went probably 2 months, maybe longer, where I just kept saying, "Okay, Lord, I want to get these tires, but I don't feel like I'm supposed to get them yet. What are you doing? You want to give me these tires, God?" It's relationship, Troy.
All day.
Do you want to give me these tires? Because I don't know why. I just don't go and buy the tires. I got the money. You've blessed me. I got the money. Well, he wanted me to use the money for other stuff. So someone calls me and says, "Hey, man, I just really felt like the Lord told me to buy you some new tires." They didn't see my truck. They didn't see that my tires were wearing down. They just heard from God, and God put on their hearts to buy me 4 brand new tires, top of the line tires for can I say this? A Ford F-150, my Ford F-150. Ford, if you're listening, I just want you to know, you don't owe me anything, but if you want to give me a new truck, because
Don't worry,
I'm
they
giving
won't
you a
give you
shout out.
they won't give you anything. Don't worry about it.
I had 4 brand new tires put on my Ford F-150 pickup truck, you know what I'm saying? And but I did but my point is, I'm being funny, but my point is I didn't have to spend the money on myself. Therefore, I had money to spend the way that God wanted me to spend it. To give. I'm saying spend to give the way that God wanted me to give it. You know what I'm saying?
And here's the deal, man, because I love those stories because it's going to encourage a lot of people that are listening.
I hope so.
No, it definitely will. I promise you it will. It's going to encourage some people because there's some folks that are listening now, and you've been a certain way about money, your whole life, or at the very least, at least your adult life. And my prayer is by the end of this, you'll look at money differently. I believe that's going to happen. In those two instances, where God shows you a better way,
Yeah.
right? He shows you a better way, and he also shows you, look, I got you.
Yes, sir.
Why are you worried about it? I got you.
In the
You know,
smallest things, in the biggest things, I got you.
absolutely, I got you. Two
Yeah.
apples, I got you.
Yeah.
Four tires for a pickup truck are not cheap.
Yeah.
The
Yeah.
tires
Yeah.
for a pickup truck, they're not cheap. And so even in something big like that, yeah, I got you. Don't worry
I
about it.
got you.
Whatever you need, I got you. You know, and it's a great lesson to learn. Bruce, I like to talk about this kind of stuff because giving, if you're going to be a child of God, giving has to be in your heart. Now, again, we're
Has to
talking
be,
about
man.
money. You know, now we're not relegating that just to money, that particular statement, but for the sake of the conversation, we are talking about money.
We are talking about money.
Right.
Can I use a term? Generosity.
Generosity.
I believe God wants us to learn his level of generosity.
Yeah, and man, I'm telling you, that's tough. You know, it is tough. How no, it's tough. But you it's achievable, right?
Absolutely.
One thing, and I hope this helps a lot of people. I hope this helps because you're probably gonna look at money a little bit differently after this statement. There is a difference between giving and payments.
Yeah, buddy, come on.
There's a difference.
We've talked about this before. That's good. That's
Yes,
going to
sir.
help people for sure.
There's a difference between giving and payments. We taught a class a long time ago. We used to teach it twice a year for 7 years or 8 years, something like that. Biblical tithing, right? And for any of you guys that are interested, if you go to our YouTube channel, that teaching is out there. I think it's a pretty good teaching for biblical tithing. But we taught that for 7 or 8 years, twice a year. Finally just recorded it because, quite frankly, I got tired of teaching it. I
Look,
tired of teaching it.
we've been in the class several times. We've listened to this several times, and I was almost mad when he got tired of teaching it, but then I got glad because I said, "Oh, you recorded it. That's good.
Yeah, I
That's good."
re-recorded it, and it's not that I won't teach it in person, you know, from time to time. I just won't be on a regular schedule like that.
It's so meaty. If I can just speak to it for a second and let you continue. It's so meaty. It's really good. If you guys are listening, you need to go to Troy's ministry's website or YouTube. It's on YouTube, yeah?
Yeah, it's on our YouTube channel.
Yeah,
It's
on
buried
their
in there
YouTube
somewhere.
channel. And listen to this. It will change your life.
That was the goal. I believe it's still the goal. But one of the things that we constantly try to help people with is there is again, a difference between giving and payments.
Yeah.
And one of the things that we use to back that up is just the concept of there is no freedom in have to.
There you go.
If I have to do something, I'm not free.
There you go.
Right? This is something you
Absolutely.
have to do. You have to do this, you have to do that. That you have to give this much per month. You
Right.
have to get at that point, it's no longer a gift.
That's right.
That's a bill.
That's right.
That's a payment.
That's right.
And I like to say it this way, God loves a cheerful giver,
Yes, he
not
does.
necessarily a disgruntled bill payer.
That's it.
Right? He wants us to be cheerful about our giving. But I'm afraid that this happens way too much. Is there such a demand that's put on it that people become disgruntled and they don't see the blessing from being cheerful and doing it?
That's right.
That's the part that's heartbreaking to me. You know, when you see the other side and you see what you can get and not even what you can get, but just the relationship that you can build with God by
Yes.
being cheerful in your giving.
Yes.
It and I'm not talking about the amount, whatever amount it is. It could be a little, it could be a lot. Just be cheerful in that, as opposed
Yes.
to, oh, I got to go in here, I got to give this. There's no freedom in have to.
That's
And the
right.
last time I checked, the Bible says, "Whom the Son sets free, is
Is
free in all of his deeds."
free in
Right.
all his deeds.
And so, that's something I wanted to lay on you guys while you're listening. There's no freedom in have to, if you're going to give. Do so like Paul says, not out of duress or be begrudging, but what every man has purposed in his own heart. That's
Yes.
in 1 Corinthians. What you have
That's right.
purposed in your heart,
That's right.
That's how you give. That makes sense.
Yep,
Cool.
it sure does, man. It sure does. You were dancing all around Proverbs 10:22, so I'll read it. The blessing of the Lord makes rich and adds no sorrow with it.
Yes.
The blessing of the Lord makes rich and adds no sorrow with it. Okay, all right. So I'm glad we're on video so nobody can't throw anything at us.
Oh,
They
yeah.
can only turn it off or change the channel. But you call your house the blessing of the Lord, right? But you have a mortgage. Okay? Don't click off yet. I'm not done. I hope this is gonna bless you. Okay, the blessing of the Lord, Proverbs 10:22. I wanna make a point here, because once again, I'm talking about stuff that has happened to me. Okay? You call your house the blessing of the Lord. The Lord blessed me with a beautiful house, right? But you actually have a mortgage, right? Is that wrong? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. It's not wrong. Until your hours get cut back. Or you lose your job altogether. Or maybe one of you lose your job and you're two earner household. Or you have unexpected medical bills that pop up. And then sorrow is added. Do you see where I'm going?
I got you. I'm with you.
This is stuff that God taught me, Troy. This is stuff that He taught me. You don't if you look, we used to say back in the day, don't talk about it, be about it.
Yes, sir.
I would say that God in His own way said that to me for the most part, kind of said that to me. Son, don't talk about it, be about it. You're gonna call it the blessing, you're gonna put my name on it. You know what I'm saying? Even if you're paying monthly payments for it or whatever, if you're putting my name on it, if anything happens and it produces sorrow in your heart, then am I really in it? Are you really trusting me?
Such a great question.
You get me?
I got you.
Is it the blessing of the Lord or not?
I got
This is
you.
tight. I know it's tight, man, but we'll live. We'll live. It didn't kill me. I thought I was dying at one point years ago, right? When I was learning this stuff, man. But I'm still here and still fat. You know what I'm saying? I still got a big fat head, you know what I'm saying? And big belly, it's all good, man. I love life. I love Jesus, right? I love my family, and I love the things that He's taught me, even though some of them were very tough lessons, right?
Yeah.
But he
That one is
wanted
a tough
me,
lesson.
he wanted to show me though. Are you relying on me or are you relying on you? Are you
Yeah, that one
relying
is
on the
tough.
strength of your back? Are you relying on your own intellect? Are you relying on your ability, right, to see yourself through? And as long as things are working out, you then want to call it the blessing? One of the things that I don't say anymore, Troy, this is going to be real interesting, I think, for people, but I'm going to say it. One of the things that I no longer is no longer in my vocabulary, this is going to be a strange one. Here it is. We can't afford that. I no longer use that term. Because I can't afford the apples I talked about earlier. You see what I'm saying? In and of myself, if I look at it that way, if I don't look to my Father for every single thing that I need, whether it's a single little apple or whether it's a house, if I don't have the mentality that He's my provider, big or small, then I'll begin to draw lines as to what I can handle. And then what I got to give over to him. Does that make sense?
We'll stick some Bible to it. John 15:5. It says, "For without me, you can do no thing."
Nothing.
Yeah.
No thing.
No thing.
No
There's
thing,
nothing you
man.
can do without him. That complete dependence and relying on him. I'm gonna tell you what, man. when if your back is against the wall and you have to learn it that way, you'll learn it. But I would hope that you don't have to learn it that way. If you can hear what's being said today,
Absolutely,
and
Troy.
you have your opportunity to either rely on your own wits and rely on what you stashed up here in the earth,
Yeah.
or fully rely on God. If you have that opportunity, take the latter
Yeah,
and
take
fully
the
rely on
latter.
God, right?
Absolutely. And
Don't
I'm
get it
not
to the
saying.
point where you backed into a corner and you absolutely have to at that point.
Absolutely. No, man. No, that's not what you want.
Yeah.
That's not what you want. And and I'm, so I can almost hear somebody saying, "Wait a minute now. If I tell if I let's just use this example. I say to my wife, "We can't afford that. Isn't that being a good steward?" Well, kinda,
Yeah.
but I'm dealing with the mentality. I'm just speaking to the mentality that if you have that mentality, you're still looking at what you can do versus what God wants to do for you. That's
Correct.
it in plain language. That's all I'm pointing to, because we're talking about what? We're talking about money and understanding money from a kingdom perspective, right? I said in our last podcast, understanding how to have money and not bust hell wide open. If I could just be real straight and plain with it, right?
Yeah.
How do we have money in the earth and not bust hell wide open? Because you know what I'm saying? There's some things that's kind of like, you can kind of be right on that fence and fall over one side or the other when you ought to be full both feet down. Like they used to say, 10 toes down for
And
Jesus,
toes
right?
down. Yeah, there you go.
10 toes down for Jesus, man. If all else fails and I got to give up the house, I'll give up the house and keep Jesus. If all else fails, I got to give up the car. I'll give up the car. Let's keep Jesus. You know
Yeah.
what I'm saying? I
Yeah.
don't want to have to do that, as you just stated so eloquently, man. Hopefully, prayerfully, you never have to be in that situation. Learn the lessons that others can give you, like ourselves, right? And many others, and and not even have to push over into that where you find yourself in a corner, as you said earlier.
Yeah, full transparency, I found myself in that corner before. It's not fun.
It's not
Does not
fun.
feel good. And I learned a lesson. I learned a very valuable life lesson, after being put in that situation. Now, did God force me to completely rely on him? No. No, I still had a choice not to.
Yes, sir.
See, one thing that we think is we think our choice is always between good and bad. They're not. Sometimes your choices are between bad and worse.
That's exactly right, dude.
But you still have a choice,
That's so good.
right? So I still didn't have to rely on him. I still could have continued on in my path, but it would not have turned well for me. It wouldn't turn out well for me or my family.
That's right.
And so I recognize wisdom in that situation. Like, you know what? Yeah, you try to do this in your own strength and you have failed miserably.
That's
You
right.
know? And so now why don't we just try doing things his way? He seems to have things under control a whole lot better than you do.
That's exactly right.
And it seems like the plan that he has for you, it seems to work when you work the plan. Why not we just do it his way? Why not just
Why
do it that way?
not just do it his way?
Yeah. And
It
so
works much better that way.
it does. It does. It does. It does. I know giving, like I said, it can be sometimes a sore subject, because people have been taken advantage of.
Yeah.
Not that never happens in churches, ever. No,
No.
that never happened.
No, not in
Yeah.
churches. Not
Yeah,
in
that never happened.
American churches.
No,
No.
not at all. But these things, it happens, and I know that this is probably a sore subject, sore topic. But again, want to help people, right?
We want to help people, man, because you know what? Once again, God is, I'll use a big 10 cent word. It's really about 2 cents word, but he's magnanimous. He gives lavishly. You know what I'm saying? And so, as I said earlier, I believe that he wants us to ascend, for lack of a better term, ascend to that mentality. He wants us
Sure.
to ascend to that mentality to where we don't okay, I'm going to use a medical term. We kind of stop, not completely, but we don't triage. That's the medical term. We don't triage in our thinking as much anymore because we know, ooh, am I going to use an old colloquialism? This is not a Bible verse, y'all. This is not a Bible verse. We're going to do a podcast on all the stuff that's not actually in the Bible that people love to say, right? There's an old saying, you can't beat God's giving. It is true. It's just not a Bible
This
verse.
is not a Bible
It's just not
verse.
a Bible verse, right? But my point is that, you know, when you start learning this stuff, you realize, man, I really can't. I can't diminish God. Let me say it
Oh,
like that. I
that's a
can't
good way to
diminish
say it.
him.
That's a good way to say it.
You know what I'm saying? Sometimes we approach God as if, you know, God, I really don't want to bother you. I know you're busy with people that have way more problems than me. You know, we kind of almost approach God that way, man. You know, when you should come to God, right? The Bible says, come boldly before the throne of grace that you might obtain mercy.
Mercy.
Come boldly. You know, God, I want to give like you. I want to be like you. I want to give like you. I want to be magnanimous like you. I want to be a lavish giver like you, God. He says, do you really? Okay, go give somebody that $5 you got. Oh my God, all I got is 10. That's only going to leave me with five.
Till
You
next
know,
Wednesday.
that's exactly right. You see what I'm saying? You think about the rich young ruler, right?
Correct.
Jesus locates him, man.
Yeah, ma'am.
He doesn't tell him to go and fast for 20 days, 40 days, right? That would have been easy for him, probably, right? Because he was already boasting about how he's this really good, you know, good Hebrew or whatever,
Oh, yeah.
right? No, he locates him. You have an issue with your money. You and your money have an unhealthy relationship. I'll say like that, right? And if you're going to come into relationship with me, I have to expose the unhealthy relationship you have with money. I want to speak prophetically. I believe that even through this podcast and through others, we're not the only ones talking about this stuff.
True.
But I want to speak prophetically to people who are listening and or watching. God is saying to you right now that you have an unhealthy relationship with mammon. And I just want to, I'm not trying to punish you. I'm not trying to hurt you. I want to bring it to light so that you and I can have the relationship that we're supposed to have so that I can bless you and you can actually really call it the blessing of the Lord. Now, for those who are more religious than others, I'll say, thus saith the Lord. Okay?
Because it doesn't count until you say
It doesn't count until I say, thus saith the Lord, right? I really believe that, man. You know, I really believe it, that God is wanting people. I sense that in my heart so strong as we're talking it out, Troy, that God wants people to understand. I'm not trying to take anything from you. I'm not trying to punish you. I want to expose the relationship, the unhealthy relationship that you have with money, so that you and I can come into an extremely healthy relationship, and you'll see that it's nothing for me, God, to provide for you everything you need, be it an apple, be it an orange, be it a house, be it tires for your truck or whatever. It's no problem getting that thing to you, but we have to fix the relationship first.
I love that point. Because far too often I think people will pray and ask God for things, but then look to that other God for the answer. You know, which is very odd. And I
It is.
honestly believe this, that a lot of people, if they really knew that's what they were doing, they wouldn't do it.
Oh, sure, I believe that.
But I think we're conditioned to a certain degree. One of the things that here's something. Okay, let's look at it this way. Because we like to look at things biblically, right? Peter has this great moment with God, great moment with Jesus. He said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, right? Flesh and bone did not reveal that to you. Only my Father in heaven. That's a big pat on the back for Peter. And then right after that, Jesus says, oh, they're going to crucify me. And oh, no, not on my watch, baby. Like, you were doing so well, man. and then now all of a sudden, and what does Jesus say to him? He doesn't say anything as nice as, oh man, flesh and blood didn't reveal, only my Father. He said, no, get thee behind me, Satan.
Right.
Like, you go from this to this, you know, that quick, right?
Yeah.
But I think the key was there. He said, you're mindful of the things of this world.
Yes.
And this is how we're conditioned.
Yes.
We're conditioned to be mindful of the things of this world.
Yes.
And as long as you're mindful of the things of this world, right? We've said this before. You can't play by the rules of the world and expect to get a reward from the kingdom.
That's exactly right, yo.
If you want a reward from the kingdom, you have to play by the rules of the kingdom.
Yes.
If you want a reward from the world, which is a fleeting, temporary reward, then play by the rules of the world.
Sure.
Right? But the rules of the kingdom will afford you to have a long-lasting, eternal reward.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so our thing is, we can't be mindful of the things of this world in that way. You know what I mean? But our thinking and our hearts have to be somewhere else.
Yeah, sure.
If that makes sense. It has to be. Right?
It has to be.
I've often said this, especially when we start talking in context about giving. Again, giving is going to be something that's in your DNA. When you're born again, you have a blood transfusion.
Yeah.
And now your DNA says that you're a giver. Why do we know that? For God so loved the world that he gave. His motive was his love. The action from that motive was giving.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. But when we talk giving, especially in our church circles, the question that's hardly ever asked and that should be asked was, give to who? Right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, a lot of the church leaders would say, you're giving to God. Right?
Yeah.
But you're on the payroll. So forgive me if it's hard for me. I'm not saying you're not right. I'm just saying, forgive me if it's hard for me. It's hard for me to accept that when you're on the payroll and you're saying you're giving to God, but your salary. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, sir. We can
talk about salaries and in ministry. That's something else we can talk about at a different time. I don't think there's anything wrong with it, right?
Right.
But you got to forgive me if it's difficult for me to see that, you know, when you're the one saying it, right?
Yeah. Yeah. No, for sure.
When you're the one saying at the end of the year, you know, our giving wasn't up to what it was the year before, and you're on salary, you have to forgive me if I look at you kind of funny, right?
Yep.
Give to who?
Yep.
Who are we giving to? Well, so the thing that I offer to people to help them to be free is the answer to that question is, who am I giving to? My answer is this: whoever God tells you to.
Yeah. Yeah.
So let every man, again, give what's according to his heart. So say for instance, what you purpose in your heart is, I'm going to give $500 this week, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you go to the bank, you take the $500 out, and you're on your way to your local house of worship, right?
Right.
And along the way, you see somebody on the side of the road with nothing.
Yeah.
And you feel that impression in your heart, give them the $500.
Mm.
The homeless guy, right?
Yes.
Now, what goes through your head? You know what I mean?
All kinds of interesting things go through your head. He's going to use it for the wrong stuff.
Right.
He's going to use it for drugs or alcohol or something or whatever.
Immediately, the enemy starts working on you.
Yeah.
When it comes to your obedience to God.
Yes, sir.
Immediately.
Yes, sir.
So you get the, I'm going to do what God tells me to do. He says, give to this man, right? Now, I want to help you out with this. Because sometimes people would say exactly what you were thinking, Bruce. Well, he's going to use it for something else. Well, that's his money to use it for then.
Once you give it, it's not yours anymore.
It's not yours anymore. Right? It belongs to that person. And here's the thing. You don't have to answer for what they do with the money.
That's right.
The only thing you have to answer for is whether you're going to be obedient or not.
That's it.
And so if the Holy Spirit tells you, give it to that man, and you give it to that man, walk away.
See, that's what I was talking when I used the term triage. That's exactly what I was
talking
yes, about, Troy, what you're saying right now.
Yes, sir. And yeah. this is how we need to be. So where do I give the money? Wherever the Holy Spirit tells you to give the money. Now, most of the time it's telling you, oh, okay, you got to bring that to the church and give it to the church. In some cases, that's fine, right?
Oh,
but what
boy.
you what you can't do, this is what you can't do. You can't let your traditional thinking, you can't let your routine thinking intercept the transmission between you and Holy Spirit.
Can I go a step further just to help you
Absolutely.
Make the point? You can't even you love your leaders, right? Because that's going to be a problem should the leader find out. Should your church leader find out, that's going to be a huge problem. If, you know, should they find out, right?
Yeah.
But here's the bottom line. You can't even let your pastor or church leader play, I'm going to say this, play God or play Holy Spirit to you.
Correct.
You know? Even if you make what might be considered a mistake,
oh,
at
man.
Least it will be because you were trying your best to hear from God for yourself. Sometimes, Troy, the influences, right? Even I got my quote fingers up for those who can see us on video now. Even the godly influences of a pastor, leader, what have you, still has its place.
Sure.
And its place is not God's place, and its place is not Holy Spirit's place.
Sure.
And I know this is sensitive ground that we're stepping on, right? We're not telling you to disregard, you know, the influence of your leaders.
Not
I'm
at all.
You don't disregard the influence of Holy Spirit.
Correct.
If I can say it like that. So I just wanted to add that to the point because you're making a really, really good point.
This is, and I appreciate that you know, because we needed that clarity. And I think you hit the nail on the head too, man, because there's a lot of times church leadership, sometimes they don't mean any harm by it. You know?
No, I don't believe
those are the
they
ones
do.
That my heart goes out to is the ones they don't mean any harm by it, but they're trying to. Here's the deal. Okay, I'm just gonna say it. Just gonna say it. I can hear God for myself.
If
You can hear God for
anything,
yourself.
Troy, the church and the church leaders are supposed to be teaching the people exactly that.
Correct.
So then when people try, but it's in an area that you would wish that they didn't, you know, then that's a problem between that church leader and God now.
Absolutely.
As far as I'm concerned, that's not a problem between me and you, church leader, and whether I bring tithes because of I'm going to say this, because of a lack of understanding of Malachi, right?
Yeah.
Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse that there might be meat in my house, blah, 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 right?
Yep.
Because of a lack of understanding of that scripture, right? But the bottom line is, if I'm a member of a church and I have a leader that I believe hears from God, I do my best to consider the things that he or she is saying to me in the way of guidance. But at the end of the day, I am supposed to be being taught how to hear from God for myself, and that
Right.
includes where he wants me to put money.
Correct. Holy Spirit is here to lead and guide you into all truth.
All.
All truth, including that. Not
All.
just exclusive to that, but it also includes that.
It
He'll
includes
lead and
that.
guide you to all truth.
And leaders can't try to be Holy Spirit to people. It is a dangerous thing to do.
I'll say one more thing for church leaders, and I don't mean any harm by this, you know, because you've already said, you know, you don't try to be Holy Spirit. Let people hear from God, right? If
Right.
they make mistakes, they make mistakes. All of us
That's
do,
right. That's
right?
right.
We all do. When it comes to church, see, I'm going to try to say this without getting us in too much trouble, Bruce.
I think we're already there, so go ahead.
I'm trying to think of the best way to say this. There is no good chef who serves food without tasting it first. Right?
That's good.
So you want to make sure that what you're putting out there is palatable, right?
I got you.
This meets the standard.
I got you.
This meets the standard. I tasted it. It meets the standard, and now I can serve it to other people, right?
Yes, sir. That's good.
So when a person comes and says, "Hey, I've fallen on some hard times," and the church leader says, "Well, you know what? At this time, you know, you're really going to have to trust God." That is great, great, great advice.
Yes.
But remember, you have to eat that first.
That's exactly right, friend.
So when we need a new roof, or we need the parking lot repaved, or
Yes.
we want to add on to the fellowship hall, or whatever these things are, these projects are, when you
Yes.
have all this stuff going on, right? And you're like, "Hey, we're gonna need people to give more and give more." Wait a minute.
Hold up.
Just like you telling me I have to live by faith, you also have to do the same.
That's exactly right. Or otherwise, you yourself as the leader may not be trusting in God. You may only be trusting in your giving units. I'm sorry, in the
Uh-oh.
people.
Yeah, you weren't supposed to say giving
I'm
units.
sorry. You may be trusting in the people, you know, and that's a real thing. It's a real thing that has to really be considered by leaders, man. You know, am I actually trusting God? Well, okay, so watch this. Well, no, I am trusting God. I'm trusting God that He'll speak to the people to give to the church. Okay. But then if that's not happening, or you know,
Or if
the
it's not the way
funds are
God wants to
down,
do it. What if he doesn't
right?
want to do it that way?
You might have to go back and say, okay, God, am I missing it? Are you wanting this to happen a different way than how I assume? And that's what I was going to say earlier, Troy. There is a whole lot of assumption going on in the church today, particularly where giving is concerned. Where
Sure.
money is concerned and where giving is concerned, you know, and there's enough to go around. There's enough assumption on leaders' parts. There's enough assumption to go around
It is.
on lay people's parts. You know what I'm saying? I'd like to speak to that you're talking about this idea of, you know, trusting God to help you to know or to tell you where to give, what to give, so on and so forth. 2 Corinthians 9.
Oh boy.
2 Corinthians 9, verse 1 through 11. I'm reading out of the Message Bible. If I wrote any more on this relief offering for the poor Christians, I thought that was awesome. The relief offering for the poor Christians. You mean there were poor Christians? Anyway, keep moving. I'd be repeating myself. I know you're on board and ready to go. I've been bragging about you all through Macedonia province, telling them Achaia province has been ready to go on this since last year. Your enthusiasm by now has spread to most of them, right? Now I'm sending the brothers to make sure you're ready as I said you would be, so my bragging won't turn out to be just so much of hot air. If some Macedonians and I happened to drop in on you and found you weren't prepared, we'd all be pretty red-faced, you and us, for acting so sure of ourselves. I'm making a point here. I'm getting to it. So to make sure there will be no slip-up, I've recruited these brothers as an advance team to get you and your promised offering. Already before I get there, I want you to have all the time you need, listen to this, to make this offering in your own way. I don't want anything forced or hurried at the last minute. Do you hear that, Troy?
I love it.
And
I
then, of
love it.
course, he goes on to say, a stingy planter gets a stingy crop, a lavish planter, a lavish crop. I want each of you to take plenty of time to think it over and make up your own mind what you will give. That doesn't
Yeah.
sound, anyway, that that will protect you against sob stories and arm twisting. This is pretty good, isn't it?
I love it.
And then it says, God loves it when the giver delights in the giving, or God loves a cheerful
A
giving.
cheerful
I wanted to
giver.
read into that because I think
Yeah.
it's important for our listeners and viewers to really understand, right, what's been left on record. How are we supposed to, you know, how are we supposed to see these things, right? Now, I got one more. I got to give this one last piece. I know it's a long read, but I think it's worth it. This last piece of scripture, God can pour on the blessings in astonishing ways so that you're ready for anything and everything. Listen, God can pour on the blessings in astonishing ways so that you're ready. What's the blessing for? So that you're ready for anything and everything, more than just ready to do what needs to be done.
Yeah.
As one psalmist put it, he throws caution to the wind, giving to the needy in reckless abandon. His right living, right giving ways never run out, never wear out. Good God Almighty, that's good to me, man.
You gotta love that.
That's good to me, yo.
You gotta love that.
Man, oh
There's
man.
so much
There's so
there.
much in there, man.
Yeah. There's so much there.
There's so much in there, man.
I loved how the early church took care of each other. Now,
Yes.
when I say that, I mean the early church took care of the church.
Yes.
Not the early
Yes.
church taking care of their local body.
Yes.
The early church took care of the church.
Yes.
If you were part of the church, they recognize you're part of the body. And if you're hurting, we have to come to your aid. And so Paul takes up this collection. It's not the only time he did it. He did it in Rome too. Took
Yeah.
up a collection for the church at Jerusalem. I think in
Yes.
Galatians, he took up I think it's in Galatians chapter 2, I think, where he took up a collection for the church at Antioch,
Yes.
if I'm not mistaken.
But he doesn't give a dollar amount, if I can say it like that.
Yeah, man.
You know what I'm saying?
So wait a minute. Wait a minute. So you telling me I don't have to stand in the $50 line?
Dude.
Or the
No, like
$100
for
line?
real, man.
Or
Like
the
for real.
$500 line?
I know there's people who are not going to like this podcast. It's okay. This may not be for you right now.
Oh my
Right?
goodness. And
But
so that's not a measure of my faith if I jump up in the $500 line.
dude,
That's but okay.
can I be, look, can I just, you know, my
Ellen.
daughter, when my daughter was really, really, really young, when my children were really young, my daughter said to me one day after coming down off the platform with the microphone, right? I had said some things and just put myself out there, right? And my daughter said to me, she said, "Daggone, Dad, you tell everything." And I told, and I said, "Baby, I said, you know why I do that? I said, because we didn't float out of heaven.
Yeah.
You help people and you help yourself and you honor God by
Yeah.
letting people know, you know, that you didn't just float out of heaven." And she said, "Oh, okay. All right, that's that. Okay, I got it."
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? This stuff we're talking about, I'm just going to be extremely transparent, Troy. There are times when I got in the $50, $100, $500 line because I was embarrassed to not to. Does that make
Correct.
sense?
Correct.
The pressure that comes, especially if you're in, here's my quote fingers, leadership, right? The pressure that comes because you're in leadership, if anybody's supposed to do it, you're supposed to be, you better get up in that line, right?
Yeah.
Had no kind of direction from Holy Spirit. No
Yeah.
kinds of direction. And he was not obligated to bring that money back around that I actually needed for my bills or for something else. Can I just be real transparent?
Yeah, man.
Thank God I'm not there now. I learned some hard lessons, right? I really hope this helps some people, because you got to get free. People got to get free, man, of all the different aspects that we're talking about concerning mammon and money and giving. You know what I'm saying? We didn't
Yeah.
even touch receiving.
Oh my goodness.
We didn't even touch receiving, but I'll say it, giving and receiving.
Yeah, man.
You know what I'm saying?
It's the pressure that comes with it changes that from a gift to a bill. Right? It's no
Sure.
longer a gift anymore. You, again, you're not following what Paul laid out there, not to give under duress.
That's right.
You know, not to give begrudgingly.
That's
You
right.
know, the one thing I tell people, and I correct it quickly, is this silly saying that if you have a need, sow a seed.
Oh, come on, man.
And you have to understand, if you take on that type of mentality, God is no longer the focus of your giving, the need is. That's the focus of your giving now. If you have a need, sow a seed. Can I say something
And
else?
as far as I'm concerned, you might as well say hocus pocus.
You might as well. I'll go a step further just so we can really drive this home. You're not going to find anywhere biblically, nowhere in scripture, where a seed and money are tied together.
Thank you. Thank you for that, Troy.
You're
Oh
not going
my
to find it.
God, thank you for that, man.
You're not, in fact, what you hear and what you see in the word, the Bible said, Jesus says this, the sower sows the word.
Sows the word.
The sower sows the word. That's what he says.
That's what he
So,
says.
yeah, that's what he says. So you're not going to, I understand people say, oh, yeah, we sow a seed into this ministry. So, okay, but I'm trying to tell you this, the Bible does not support that.
It does
Not
not.
like that,
Not like
okay?
that.
Not like that. It doesn't
Exactly.
support it like that.
It does not support it like that.
And
It's
so
one of the
this.
greatest revelations that I've gotten concerning money, Troy.
Yeah.
The sower sows the word.
So is the word.
When we went to the Lord, my wife and I, and asked the Lord for a particular thing, and the Lord's answer to us was to go find a scripture and sow it in your heart.
Yeah, see, there you go.
One of the greatest revelations I've gotten since I've been saved.
Because the sower sows the word.
Because the sower sows the word. We went and found a couple of scriptures and sowed those scriptures and pushed them down into our hearts, Troy. Right?
Yeah.
And then faith rose for the thing that we had asked God for. Right? And then direction came. And then we were able to put faith to action. I mean,
Yeah.
action to faith, right? We were able to put action to faith, and then we saw the manifestation of the thing. But his answer to us, we made a request for a thing. His answer to us was go find a word and sow it in your own heart.
Man.
Just to make your point.
Yeah. And you just won't see it tied together like that. Not like that. So hopefully that helps somebody.
Hopefully that helps, man.
Yeah. It's there's so much stuff going on now, and it's all surrounded and driven by mammon, right?
Yes,
It's
sir.
all there's like a cloud of smoke that doesn't give you clarity, and it's almost like you can see mammon blowing on some coals to create
Yes,
this
sir.
smoke. You know what I mean? Blowing
Yes, sir.
on these coals to create this smoke so you can't see clearly.
So that you can't see clearly.
Yeah. And this is problematic for the believer. It's problematic for the church.
It
Because if
really
we're money
is.
hungry, why would the world not be money hungry if we're supposed to lead?
That's exactly right.
You see what I mean? And we're money hungry. Why wouldn't the world be money hungry?
And
How can
they
we
can
tell the
see
world
no
not to be?
difference.
No, they yeah. How does that make us look different?
It doesn't.
Yeah, it
It
doesn't
doesn't
set
make
us
us look
apart.
any different, man.
And
You
so
know?
I'm gonna get to my last point, and then I promise I'll shut up.
Yeah, no, this is good, man.
I
I got a
promise.
scripture I wanna sneak in here. I got
Yeah, go
another
ahead.
scripture. James 4. I don't think I
Yep.
read that yet. James 4. I'm gonna read three through seven, and then I want to touch on around the verse 13, 14, 15, something like that.
Yep.
You ask and do not receive, right? We're still dealing with mindsets. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures or on your own lusts. I'm reading the New King James Version. Adulterers and adulteresses. Wow. Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God?
Enmity. Oh, wait a minute. Stop right there. Wait, man, you
go
know what?
ahead.
Don't stop right there. Read the next line.
Okay. Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes
stop
himself
right there.
Okay.
Okay. That's where I needed you to stop.
Okay.
Because I have to teach this here soon, right?
Okay, okay.
I have to teach this here soon. And you have to look at what it says. Friendship with the world is enmity or hatred.
Hatred.
Hatred to God, right?
Yes, sir.
And what does that very next line say?
It says, whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world
so
makes
whoever
himself.
Wants to be.
Whoever wants to
it
be.
Didn't even say you have to be friends yet. It said if you want to.
Want to be.
If it's in your heart to be friends with the world, that's hatred toward God.
God considers
I didn't even
you an
make
enemy.
The friend yet. You
just
know what I
want
mean?
to be.
I just want to be.
You have a desire to be.
I'm good. I'm good. I just had to make that point. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
You become an enemy of God. As far as God's concerned, you're his enemy.
Yeah.
Verse 5, or do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit dwells in us, yearns jealously.
Mm.
But he gives more grace. This is, I love this. He's saying, even in this, I'll give you grace because I don't want you to stay in it, right?
Yeah.
He gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble.
Yeah.
He hasn't changed subjects, Troy. He hadn't changed subjects.
No.
He gives grace to the proud, but gives God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. This is a scripture everybody knows. Verse 7, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you,
mm-hmm.
right? And I'm like, good God Almighty, does anybody read contextually anymore? We pull out verse 7 and use it for everything, but verse 7 is being said in context to where you are and how you think and how you see the world.
Correct.
Versus God.
Correct.
How you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss. It's within that context that he says, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, or resist the temptation,
mm-hmm.
right? To become friends with the world and make God an enemy.
Oh man.
Resist the devil and he will flee. Context is absolutely
it's everything.
Everything, dude.
It's everything. It's everything.
And then look at this. Okay, I want to drop down to 13.
Mm-hmm.
I'm giving a lot of long scriptures today, man. I can't help it. Verse 13, come now, you who say today or tomorrow, I think this is important. We will go to such and such a city and spend a year there, buy and sell and make plenty money. I'm going to say it in H.B. Franklin's way, and make plenty money.
I love it.
Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. Mm-hmm. But now you boast in your ignorance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to him who knows to, once again, here's a scripture that people like to quote, but read it in context. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. Mm-hmm. Context is everything.
Everything, sir.
Everything. Everything. Full stop. I read a lot. you get the last word. I'm the one that's done. You get the last word.
This is good stuff, man. Listen, all we're trying to do is put this stuff into perspective. That's it, especially as it pertains to your giving. I'm going to give you this because you're going to hear this a lot in your services. It's in Luke chapter 6. Bruce, you already know where we're going.
Yep.
I'm going to start in verse 27.
Mm-hmm.
But I say unto you who hear, it says, love your enemies. Do
yes.
good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you and pray for those who spitefully use you. To him who strikes you on one cheek, offer the other also. And from him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who asks of you. Wait a minute. So we don't have to check tithing records?
Ooh. Can you just read that again for those in the back, man?
Give to everyone who asks of you.
Oh, my. Oh, boy. That's tight, man.
And from him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back.
Oh.
And I know it. This is brutal.
Oh.
This is brutal. And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise.
Oh, my goodness.
Verse 32. But if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back. But love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return.
Oh,
wait
my
a minute.
goodness.
I lend, hoping for nothing in return.
Oh, my.
I do good. I can be transparent, right?
Yeah.
Okay. This is something God had recently, probably what, in the last 6, 7 months, dealt
Okay.
with. You know how traffic is here, right?
Yeah.
I always tell people I'm the only person in the Charlotte metro area who will actually let you in the traffic.
As far as you can tell, right? You're
People
the
in
only one.
traffic, they despise your existence in traffic.
Oh boy, that's funny.
And I remember there was a time where somebody was just trying to bully their way into traffic. So I just backed off
Yeah.
and just waved them in. And they got in and just kept on going. I'm like, they ain't even stick up their hand to say thank you or
They didn't
nothing.
say hi,
Right?
nothing.
And now I'm fuming about this because you make it seem like you're entitled to get in front of me. Or you know, you make it
Yeah.
seem that way.
Right.
And this is how God dealt with me. Why did you do it? Did you do it out of the goodness of your own heart, or did you do it so they would say thank you?
Oh my.
So he dealt with me. Right?
Well.
Yeah, I know, right? They didn't ask you to do that. It's one thing if they ask you to do it
Yeah.
and then didn't say thank you. That's one thing, but they didn't ask.
Yeah.
You did this out of the goodness of your own heart. So do you expect a thank you? Is that why you did it? So I had to change, right?
Yeah.
You do good to people not expecting anything in return. Now
God
watch this. It
handing
says,
out
yeah.
life lessons.
Oh, man. That one hurt me. It says, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High.
Oh, my
For he
goodness.
is kind to the unthankful and evil. Therefore, be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Here it is.
Here it
Verse
is.
38, give. And it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down,
pressed down,
shaken together, and running over, will
shall.
men put into your bosom.
Who?
The same men will put that
men.
into your bosom.
Interesting.
For with this, I know it. I know it. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back unto you. The reason we read this and the reason I wanted to share this with you as it pertains to giving, most of the time you hear verse 38, given, it shall be given back unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. You only hear that when it's time for offering.
Yes, sir.
You only hear that when it's time to give money.
Yes, sir.
And this is why I took all that time to read all this, because in context, it has absolutely nothing to do with money.
It
It has
does
nothing
not.
to do with money. Has everything to do with what giving what? You're giving forgiveness, right? You're lending without expecting anything. These are the things that you're giving, right?
Yes. Yes.
You're loving people.
Yes.
Right? Even those that despise you. These are the things that you're giving.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense.
You're withholding judgment in the place where you could judge somebody.
Those are the things that he's calling us to give.
Those are the things he's called. And he said, when you give that, that will be given back unto you
Yeah.
in good measure. And so you mean if I'm merciful to somebody? Yes, if you're merciful to somebody, then guess what? Mercy will be given back unto you in good measure, pressed down, shaking together, and running over.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's real, man.
This is to help keep it in the context. This is to help to keep it in the proper perspective as it comes to giving. A lot of times you will hear this passage, and you will only hear this passage when it pertains to giving your money.
When it pertains to giving your money,
And we're
that's
just trying to
exactly
help
right.
keep it in perspective,
And
help
yet
keep it
the
in the
Bible
context.
says, Troy, doesn't the Bible, isn't there a scripture the Bible says that when you give, you're lending to the Lord?
That
Isn't
is.
that
It is.
a
It
passage?
is.
You're lending
You're lending to the Lord.
because
You
you read
absolutely are.
something about lending in that
Yeah, without
in Luke.
expecting anything in return.
And not expecting anything in return, right? But it's dealing with your interaction with men. It's dealing with your human interaction, right?
Correct.
And yet the Bible says when you lend to the Lord. So setting the mentality, right? I lend to another human. I have no expectation to receive. Why does it use the word lend? If we're told not to have an expectation to receive back, that's not lending, that's a gift, right?
Correct.
But it uses the term lend, and in my mind, it's talking about your interaction with another human, but if God's in it, the Bible says when you give, you're lending to the Lord. When you give and help somebody who needs help, you're lending to
Lending to
God,
him.
right?
And if I'm lending to him, then who has the responsibility to repay, that person or God? Yeah, see?
This is good stuff, man.
Keep your money in proper perspective. We're encouraging you to the best of our ability not to serve that other master.
Don't do it.
Not to serve that other master.
Don't do it. He's a taskmaster.
Absolutely.
A
He'll you'll
he
never have
hates
enough.
you.
And he hates you.
You know what I'm saying?
Despises your existence.
And he hates you, man.
Yeah.
You
He
know.
only wants the worst for you.
He only wants the worst for you. Stay with God.
Yeah.
You know, stay with God. This is
This
good
been
stuff, man.
yeah, this has been a lot of fun. This has been a lot of fun. I'm hoping everybody gets something out of this. I believe it's life-changing information. So it's a good way to sign off here. So I'm Troy.
I'm Bruce.
And we thank you so much for joining us here.
Under the fig tree.